Morning. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? Oh, I tell you what. Oh, we're going to get the rest of you. I promise we're going to get the rest of you. Praise the Lord. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord here today? Folks, let's not ever go to church with kind of a down, you know, dead kind of attitude, right? How many of you know we bring life? You know, we're here meeting with the Lord himself. Amen. It's an honor and a joy. It's good to be back with everybody. Of course, I was here this past Wednesday. My family and I, we were on a vacation, you know, suffering for Jesus in southern Florida. You know, somebody's got to get, you know, a suntan somewhere, right? Yeah. You know, we had an opportunity to get out of town for a little while and get refreshed, and it was great. It was wonderful. But you know what? As the vacation, you know, gets down to the last few days, I start just thinking about being here, you know. And we're going to see a verse here in the scripture today. We're going to, not because of my vacation or anything, but just so happens we're going to probably take a look at it. But the scripture says, David said, you know, better is one day in the house of the Lord than 1,000 days anywhere else. You know, I know we all like a nice weather, we like a trip or whatever, but I'll tell you what, nothing beats being home, being with your church family, gathered in the name of Jesus. I don't know about you, I'm excited about the Word of God here today. I just believe the Holy Ghost is going to meet and supply every need we have. We're going to hear what we need to hear. Maybe not everything we want to hear, right? But we're going to get what we need. Amen. Before we go any further, though, I just want to welcome those that are visiting Family Church for the very first time. We welcome you. We're just so glad to have you. My name is Pastor Tim Stallman, and we just would love to be your church family. If you're looking for a church, we'd love to see you here every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. It would be great to have you, great to get you plugged in to God's plan for your life. And we know that can only happen through the Word of God. And so we want to just teach the Word. We're not here to give you our opinions or our politics or anything like that. We're here to give you God's Word. Amen. Church, whose job or whose joy is it to welcome those that are visiting here today? That's ours. Let's welcome those that are visiting with us. We're just honored and glad, and we're just excited to see everybody here today. Who's ready for the Word of God here today? Amen. Go with me over to Psalm 92, and today I'm going to call this message, God Wants You to Flourish. God wants you to flourish. I've got to be honest, you know, when it came to the title of that sermon, I added a little to it. As I was seeking the Lord this week and seeking him, you know, about what to preach, you know, in the churches this weekend, you know, I only got one word of that sermon title, and that's the word flourish. The Holy Ghost just kept saying to me, flourish, flourish, flourish. And I knew exactly what he was talking about. I knew what direction, you know, generally speaking, we were going. I'll admit there is a lot to this message that will need to be filled in through the utterance of the Holy Ghost. And he certainly did that in last night's service in Erie. But I tell you what, we need to draw upon the Word. We need to get the utterances of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If we are going to get all that we have for what he has for us today. What does God want for your life? He wants you to flourish. What does God want for your marriage? He wants you to flourish. What does God want for your children? He wants them to flourish. What does God want for your health? He wants it to flourish. What does he want for your finances, your joy, your peace? He wants you to flourish. Spirit, soul, and body, God wants his people to flourish. And I'm going to give you a few scriptures. We're not going to bring them up, but I'm just going to read them. If you're taking notes, you can jot down the reference just so you see over and over that the Word of God declares that it is God's will for you to flourish. Now, when we say flourish, we're not talking about gold coins raining down on you from heaven or something like that. We're talking about the word flourish. That means he strengthens us. He causes us to grow. He causes us to grow. You know, over the last, you know, several weeks, you know, I had been teaching a series of messages out of John chapter 1. And it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it goes down there to verse 4, and it says, in him, meaning Jesus is the Word. In him is life, and that life is the light of men. The Word, Jesus is the Word, and the Bible says that the Word is the light of our life. Amen. How many of you know light is very necessary? You know, how many of you remember a few weeks ago, I talked about my misfit watch? Remember the story of the misfit watch? Well, I just so happened to have the misfit watch on here today. I just looked down and noticed I was wearing it. And if you weren't here, I'll just catch you up on what I was talking about. This watch that I'm wearing today, it's actually an EcoDrive watch. It has no battery. It has no spring in it. It is not charged by a battery or run on a battery. It runs on a solar cell, or literally it runs on sunlight and even artificial light. And I've had this watch a long time, and I wore it for a while. And then after a broken bracelet on it and all this stuff, I put it away in a drawer. I closed that drawer up. This watch sat in that dark drawer for years. And then somewhat recently, I took it out of that drawer and I noticed it had completely stopped. And I thought, well, I'll just put it in the sunlight and it'll get working again, except it didn't. I took it to the watch guy to see if there was something wrong with it. He tested everything and he said, nah, everything should be just fine. It just needs more light. And I rolled my eyes on the inside, and as I was walking out the door, I'm like, no, this thing is broken. And, you know, he said, no, it's nothing's broken. It just needs more light. And so day after day, week after week, month after month, I kept setting this watch on the windowsill. I even took it to Pensacola, Florida back in January, let it cook in the Florida sun, and the thing just would not work right. And just when I was about to give up on the misfit watch, you know, one day just recently, a few weeks ago, all of a sudden I took it off the windowsill after sitting in the light all day, and all of a sudden I looked down and I noticed it was ticking perfectly and working just the way it's supposed to work. And now I can wear it. It keeps perfect time. Praise the Lord. You know, if we're not careful, we can be just like this watch. We can be just like this watch. All of a sudden, we get removed from the Word. We get removed from the light, and we start thinking that something's broken in our lives. No, I'm here to tell you, nothing's broken in your life. It just needs more light. People say to me all the time, Pastor, my marriage is broken. No, your marriage is not broken. It just needs more light. Oh, but Pastor, if we just had more money, our marriage would be better. No, your marriage doesn't need more money. Your marriage needs more light. You know, oh, but Pastor, if we had a bigger house, you know, our marriage would be better. No. You don't need a bigger house. You need more light. Let light bring what you need into your life. Amen. Light does not just show us what direction to go. Light does not just show us what path to take, where to take the next step. Light is necessary also for growth. How many of you know light shows you the way, but it also makes growth. Things cannot grow without the light of the sun. You know, I bet you every single one of us, maybe even today already, we have already eaten something or drank something that was a result of something growing in the light of the sun. All right, is there anybody here that had any breakfast here today? Any breakfast? Well, does coffee count as breakfast? What did I have for breakfast here today? I had a pot of coffee. You know, I had a couple of cups of coffee. I usually don't eat a big breakfast. People say, well, coffee's not breakfast, Pastor Tim. It is in my world, you know. And I had a couple of cups of coffee. But you know what? Even those coffee beans grew in the light. If you had a cheeseburger yesterday, guess what? That animal was fed by food that grew in the light. If you had anything from pasta to bread to anything that you eat and live on, right? It all started with something growing in the light. See, a lot of times Christians, you know, I see this as a pastor, they're struggling and they're fighting and they're fumbling through life and they're trying to figure out, you know, I don't get it. I don't understand why things aren't working. I tell you what, it's because it needs more light. Or if people get into fear and their ticker isn't working right. You know, their ticker, just like this watch has a ticker, a second hand. Well, we've got a ticker up here. It's our thoughts. It's our mind. And if we start thinking wrong, I tell you what, it's because we're not walking in the light like we should. The Bible says we need to renew our minds, but we need to make sure, this is where Christians, they don't understand. We try to get out of problems. We try to have a better marriage. We try to have more finances or a better job or a better house or all this stuff. But I'm here to tell you that, you know, your problems are not out here, you know, on the outside. Meaning the solution isn't out here on the outside. There's nothing on the outside that's gonna fix your life. Boy, there's a scripture. Can you bring up 3 John verse 2? Boy, is it all right if we just go a different way? Uh-oh. Here we go. The Holy Ghost has given us scriptures here. 3 John verse 2. See, this is where a lot of believers, they don't realize. This is why Christians don't flourish. And when the scripture talks about prospering, don't think of that as a financial word only. Prospering is a mentality. Prospering is, you know, having a full, fulfilled life with the Lord. Amen. Beloved, this is the New Testament. And there's some people, I see even Bible scholars that try to pass off this verse and say, oh, this is just a greeting. It's in the Bible. This is the words of the Apostle John by the Holy Spirit written to all of us. This is the voice of the Holy Spirit. Beloved, do we have any beloved here today? That's who we are. He says, I wish above all things. Everyone say all things. All things. That you may prosper and be in health. Notice the verse didn't stop there. Even as your soul prospers. Christians are trying to grow something on the outside when they're supposed to grow something on the inside first and foremost. Notice God does not do anything on the outside until something on the inside is there. Christians say, well, Pastor, I'm struggling. If we just had more money, our marriage would be better. Our problems would go away. No, 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 no. What you need is light. Light will cause you to grow on the inside. When you grow on the inside, God can then manifest something on the outside of your life. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, right around the 34th verse, let's bring that up. Let's test my scripture here. Let's see if that's the right scripture. I just want to make sure you get the right thing. Praise the Lord. Bring up Matthew 12, 34. See if that's the right one. Yeah, it's in that neighborhood. Go to the next verse. Yes, this is the one. Look at verse 35. Boy, we're teaching a Holy Spirit message here today. Yep. Totally different than even what's coming out from last night. Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth what? Good things. Out of the treasure of the heart. Everything with God is a heart issue. If it's marriage, it's about the heart. Get into the light of God's word so you grow as a husband or a wife instead of just thinking, well, the money is going to solve my marriage or the house is going to solve my marriage. Grow as a spouse. So when that growth will then create, you know, God's blessing in your life. Amen. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Notice where God is trying to draw something into your life. It's got to come out of your own heart. A good man out of the good treasure. God does not prosper on the outside without us first prospering on the inside. God is smart to make sure to concentrate on the heart first. Because if God gives just blessings without the heart being right, it'll ruin your life. We've got to have the character in place to handle what God wants to give us. We've got to be trusted. You know, we've got to be developed spiritually. See, when I sit under the light of the word, my heart, the treasure of my heart is growing in the light of God. And when there's treasure in your heart, God can then draw good things. Amen. Absolutely. That's why he says, I wish above all things that you'd be in health and you'd prosper and be in health. God wants you to have every need met with plenty left over. God wants you walking in health. But so many Christians, we make the mistake that we believe, well, if God wants it, it automatically happens. Wrong. Just because God wants it, there's going to be a trillion things today on this earth. that God wanted to happen today that will not happen because man did not participate with God. God is standing on the sideline trying to, you know, get us in the game. He's trying to move in our life, but if our heart is unprepared, he stands there and says, I can't do anything. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of? My people are destroyed by a lack of knowledge. It's because sometimes God, you know, can't move. He can't protect us. He can't provide for us because we have not sat in the knowledge or the light of the word of God. Amen. Folks, light doesn't just show you the path. Light just doesn't show you the direction. It also causes you to grow. Grow spiritually first, and everything on the outside will run to catch up with what you are on the inside. Grow on the inside. I'm going to say that again because the Holy Ghost is having me to emphasize that. Grow spiritually on the inside, and everything on the outside will run to catch up. Are you here? God wants you to flourish. But God cannot cause us to flourish if we're not flourishing on the inside. If you're here today and you're growing spiritually and you're maturing spiritually, even though you might have areas of lack in your life, whether it's financial, marital, or whatever it is, I tell you what, if you're growing spiritually, then I'm here to tell you, you are prospering. Amen. Say, well, Pastor, you know, I need to see all this on the outside. Listen, focus on growing on the inside. Focus on your relationship with the Lord. Make your number one desire to know God. And when you know him, you will know the provider. You will know the healer. You will heal. You'll know the protector. So many people are trying to have all these things without knowing the one who provides them all. Know him and those things will show up in your life. Are you here today? Can you bring up 3 John 2 again? I think we need to look at this verse a couple of times because I think we just pass it off. I see Bible theologians all the time. You know, sometimes they can be too smart for their own good. They start to say, oh, this verse wasn't God saying that God doesn't want you to prosper and be in health. And why would God put that in John to speak that? What happens if you start believing, well, maybe he meant it, maybe he didn't? That sounds like the enemy trying to place doubt in the mind of somebody. The Bible says, beloved, that's true, isn't it? That's a name for Christians. We don't question that. I wish above all things that you would prosper, meaning having more than enough, and be in health, even as your soul, or even as you think right, even as you grow on the inside. Amen. God's prosperity is not prosperity. If it's just on the outside, that's a failure. We know that that's true because look at Hollywood. They prosper on the outside, but you can tell they're a train wreck on the inside. Don't be a train wreck on the inside. Boy, are you here? Praise the Lord. God wants us to flourish. I'm going to read a few verses to you. How about Psalm 72, verse 7? You don't need to bring it up. I'm just going to read it. Psalm 72, 7 says, in his days shall the righteous flourish and the abundance of peace so long as the moon endures. The Bible says as long as there's a moon in the sky, God wants you to flourish. Every time you look up at that moon, say, well, there it is. God still wants me to flourish. Amen. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 11, 28. He that trusts in his riches will fall. There it is again. Just trying to trust something on the outside. He that trusts in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Glory to God. Proverbs 14, 11. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle or the dwelling place of the upright shall flourish. God wants you to flourish. God wants the word flourish. It literally means to be strengthened. The word flourish, it means to grow. It means to grow rapidly and successfully in the right environment. Meaning if you'll put yourself in the right environment, you will flourish or grow strong rapidly. Hallelujah. Have you found Psalm 92? I guess nobody. Have you found Psalm 92? Yes, here we go. Go to verse 12. We're going to read a few verses here. And we're going to see the word flourish three times in this short passage. The Bible says this, the righteous. Do we have any righteous here today? Yeah. See, if you're here and you're new and you say, oh my goodness, I didn't dare raise my hand. I don't know if I'm righteous or not. I'm going to say something, bear with me, this is going to sound very harsh. If you are not righteous, you are not born again. Do you know that? You say, well, oh my goodness, that sounds so heavy. No. We have to understand a little something about righteousness, okay? Righteousness doesn't have anything to do with your behavior. People say, well, I'm trying to act righteous. I'm trying to be a righteous person. Righteousness is not how you behave. Righteousness is what Jesus Christ put on the inside of you the moment you accepted him as Lord and Savior. He made you righteous. He made you righteous. And so if you heard that and you were nervous to lift your hand, the reason why I said that is because if you know you're born again, then you can be confident that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. We got to show you that. Where is that scripture? 2 Corinthians 5:21. Boy, the Spirit of God has taken us all over the place here today. We've already got three different sermons so far. Can you bring that up for us? 2 Corinthians, is that the one? That's the one. 2 Corinthians 5:21. The Spirit of God just bringing these scriptures. None of these are in my notes. I had no idea that we'd be going this way. Now, this is talking about God and Jesus. It says, for he, God, the Father, made him, Jesus, to be sin for us. Aren't you glad that Jesus was made sin for you? He didn't deserve it, right? It wasn't his sin, it was our sin. It says, God the Father made Jesus to be sin for us when Jesus knew no sin. That we, everyone say, me. This is talking about you and me. It says that we would be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Do we have anybody that's in Christ here today? Well, the Bible says you are the righteousness of God in Christ. And so it's not about your righteousness is not behavior, but when you know that you've been made the righteousness of God, you just want to honor God because he gave you righteousness all on his own through Jesus. Aren't you glad? And so when the Bible says, you know, go back over here to Psalm 92:12, when it says the righteous shall flourish, who do you see in that verse? I see me. I see you. If we will know and understand and say, well, Pastor, but I'm not very righteous. I've made mistakes. Have you made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life? I'm here to tell you, he made you the righteousness of God in Christ freely by his grace. And that should mean so much to you that now you put forward the best effort you can to honor the free gift of grace that he's given to you. See, Christians misunderstand what righteousness is. Righteousness is not your behavior. Righteousness is the nature of God that was put on the inside of you when you made Jesus your Lord and Savior. Psalm 92:12, the righteous shall flourish. Who do you see in that verse? Boy, that's sorry. Say, Pastor, oh, you just blasted off. Who do you see in that verse? Yourself. That's the problem. Christians sit in the light and they don't see themselves in here. What does James chapter 3 say? We look into the perfect mirror of God's word. How many of you remember that scripture? Well, we should take you over to that chapter too. We're taking you everywhere. I haven't been in the pulpit for a couple weeks here. I'm bursting at the seams. The Bible says in James chapter 3, it says, we look into the mirror of the perfect law or word of liberty, and we see ourselves. The scripture says we are supposed to look into God's word and see ourselves. When it says, by his stripes you are healed, who do you see in that verse? You. When the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who do you see in that verse? You. When the Bible says the righteous shall flourish, who do you see in that verse? Yourself. Folks, we're supposed to see ourselves in the Word of God. That's when it becomes light. See, I don't just read the Bible. I don't just memorize the Bible. I go in there to see the Lord and to see myself in Him. Are you here today? Oh boy. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. Hey, the palm tree. We have a lot of palm trees around here, don't we? I mean, when people think of our area, don't they think? Oh, no, they don't. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Well, I saw some palm trees on my vacation and so on. You know, they're pretty tough trees. You know, they survive hurricanes and they deal with a lot. They're actually super tough. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall what? Grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Have you ever done any reading in the Bible and seen a lot of references about the cedars of Lebanon? Remember when King Solomon brought all the cedars of Lebanon down to build the temple of God in Israel? How many of you remember that in the Bible? Okay. The cedars of Lebanon are considered the most beautiful and strongest trees that was known at the time and probably still are. A lot of the cedars of Lebanon are gone now. Some people say that they barely even exist or exist at all anymore because they were so heavily forested and so on. But when the scripture says you'll flourish like a cedar in Lebanon, that is the ultimate, compliment that the Lord could pay to us. You know, a cedar of Lebanon was the most beautiful tree. It was the strongest tree. That's what God wants us to be in this life. He says in verse 13, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall what? Flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in where? Old age. In verse 14, they shall be fat and flourishing. Man, that's a good verse. Some of you say, well, I don't know if I want to be fat and flourishing. Well, that is a reference to being fulfilled in God providing more than enough. Amen. And then verse 15, why does the Lord want you to flourish? Boy, I tell you what, if you're visiting here today, you picked a humdinger. Picked a humdinger of a day to visit. You know, why does God want us to flourish? To show that the Lord is upright. God wants to use your life as a walking and talking billboard, an advertisement of His goodness so that the world would see that God is upright and that He is good. Amen. Amen. To show that the Lord is upright, He is my rock. There is no unrighteousness in Him. I don't know about you. I want to be a walking billboard for the Lord. I want God's goodness to shine, you know, to the world. This scripture came up in my heart last night. I'm going to bring it up again. Can you bring up Psalm 27:13? There's a lot of Christians who just think that God will cause us to flourish in heaven one day. And they just push everything off to heaven. And believe me, we are going to flourish in heaven. You know, heaven is full of flourishing. We understand that. If you've got loved ones there, they are flourishing more than we could possibly imagine, right? Amen. But David said something very interesting by the Holy Spirit here, because it brings out a very important truth if we're going to flourish. Everyone say flourish. Flourish. Do you want to flourish? Yes. Yes. David said this, I would have fainted. That word fainted, it means to quit or to burn out or to get frustrated and give up. He said, I would have given up unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord, where? In the land of the living. God doesn't want to just demonstrate His goodness to you in heaven someday. He wants to demonstrate His goodness to you in the land of the living, meaning right here on the earth. Praise the Lord. But notice there's our part in this scripture. We got to believe. There's a lot of Christians who are quitting and fainting and getting frustrated and burned out right now because they have stopped believing that God's goodness is going to show up right here and right now in this life. Folks, I'm here to tell you by the Spirit of God, please listen to this encouragement. God has not forgotten about you. God has not missed you. Those challenges that you're going through are not going to stay forever. God is going to show up. His goodness is going to be demonstrated in this life. As long as we keep rejoicing and believing that His goodness shows up in the land of the living. So, well, Pastor, I've lost my contentment because you've lost the light of the word. Well, I've just lost my joy because you've lost the light of the word. Well, I've just lost this. You're going to lose a lot if you stop believing that you're going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. But Pastor, this just feels like the new normal. These troubles and this anguish and turmoil just feels like the new normal. Of course, the devil would love for you to believe that. The devil would love for you to believe that there's nothing, you know, else in this life for you to do, and you know, nothing is ever going to get better. Nothing's going to change. This is just the new normal. That's the enemy talking to you. That's the enemy. David said, I would have quit if I would have stopped believing that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Are you here today? Are you here? Get a hold of this. The Spirit of God is trying to get something over to us. Go back to Psalm 92. Hallelujah. Why does God want us to flourish? In verse 15, to show that God is upright. Go back up to verse 13. So many of you, you said, I want to flourish. I want to flourish God's way. Well, now we're going to talk about God's will is for us to flourish. But here's the mistake, and I'm going to repeat this again. A lot of Christians, they think because God wills it, therefore it will automatically happen. Wrong. One of the biggest lies that has ever been communicated to Christianity is that if God wills it, it automatically happens. No, there's going to be a million things that happen in our area today that were never God's will. There's a lot of things that God wants that never come to pass. It is not on God's side, because God might will it, but in order for it to manifest over here, there's got to be priorities in the heart of man. There's got to be good decisions in the heart of man. There's got to be, you know, good choices made. God's people have to do something that God instructed them to do. And now verse 13 is the instruction of how to flourish. This is the reason why we're sharing this message here today. Those that be planted, everyone say planted. Planted. In the house of the Lord shall what? Flourish in the courts of our God. Notice the Bible says we've got to be planted in the house of God in order to flourish. I know that a lot of people are going to say, well, this is just a commercial for the church. This sermon is just to, you know, try to, you know, coerce people to stay in church or whatever. This message is not about this church, you know, specifically. This is just God's word. This is just the truth. As a pastor for 19 years, I have seen people struggle and get destroyed and be absolutely pummeled by the enemy because they violate this scripture right here. They're not planted in the house of the Lord. Oh, there's a lot of people, they say they're planted with the house of the Lord. Meaning, oh, I'm with you. Oh, I mean, I stop in here and there. I watch a little bit on live stream. You know, I'm with you. I'm with the house of the Lord. It didn't say to be planted with the house of the Lord. It said to be planted in the house of the Lord. Planted is the opposite of just tumbling around. Oh, boy. There's a lot of Christians, they'll say, oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus. He's my Lord and my Savior. Oh, yeah, where do you go to church? Oh, I don't know. I really don't go to church. He wants you planted. Yes, he does. Say, well, I'm just bouncing around. That's exactly what tumbleweeds do. Tumbleweeds just blow around. They never get planted, and they're just, you know, scooped up and tossed on the fire. A lot of God's people, they suffer because they're not planted in the local church. We all said, well, I want to flourish. Glory to God. It's God's will to flourish. Folks, we don't need to get God's will figured out as much as we need to get our own will figured out. Listen, I'll tell you what. I just shared with you several verses. Of course, God wants you to flourish. But now we got to figure out in our own mind, are we willing to do what God told us to do, what it takes to flourish His way? Folks, we flourish in the house of God when we're here week in, week out. I will tell you, I said it Wednesday night, I'm gonna say it again. The best decision I made as a young Christian, my wife and I, was to get planted in the house of the Lord. When we found our church, we, you know, volunteered for any need that would come up. You know, we would be at every service and still are. You know, whatever it takes, you know, when there was a meeting or a special meeting, a midweek service, the weekend services, amen. Praise the Lord. Because this is where, not family church, I mean the local church, this is where God has designed us to flourish. Why do you think the enemy works on us so hard just to casually pass off church? Say, well, Pastor, I'm here today. I know I'm preaching to the choir, right? But we're all tempted to take a lackluster attitude with the house of God. We're all tempted just to think, hey, I can take it. I can leave it. It's not that important. I don't need to serve as long as I show up and I leave when we're dismissed. Folks, there's a spirit getting into the world right now. If you run a business, if you own a company, or maybe you manage a department or something within a company or an organization, many people all across our land, whether in the church world or the business world, everyone's saying it is harder and harder to find good help. Has anyone heard that before? It's hard to find people that'll actually show up to work. It's hard to find people that'll be faithful at their job, you know, that'll show up week in and week out. Folks, how many of you know we're going through that in our society right now? That is not a, you know, that is not an oversight. That is absolutely true. Folks, that spirit, that laziness, that lack of willingness, you know, to show up and do something, it's creeping into God's church all throughout our nation. All of a sudden, people aren't willing to serve. All of a sudden, well, it just so happens, I didn't even realize how many announcements we were going to have today about, you know, opportunities to serve in the house of the Lord. I'll tell you what, when there's an opportunity to cut the grass, if there's an opportunity to serve on the cleaning team, don't let that spirit of the world get into you where it just says, I don't want to do that. It's in the house of God that we flourish. Anytime I told my pastor, you know, when I first started going to church, you know, I said, you know, I'll cut grass, I'll wash windows. You know, I started to vacuum the floor in the youth group, and then we were washing tables and setting up and taking down. When this church started, I started as just a children's church helper, setting out the Cheerios. And God, you know, called me to lead worship here for 4 years. And we struggled and we endured through that season, you know. And it was the last thing in the world, you know, that I wanted to do. And I'm not trying to say this as a commercial to myself. I'm just here telling you. Folks, we need a mentality that loves the house of God. We need to understand that this is where God has designed us to flourish. Praise the Lord. Go to Psalm 84. Oh, boy. The greatest decision I made as a believer, once I was born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, was to build my life around the local church. You say, well, Pastor, you're just saying that because you're the pastor. No, I did that before I was the pastor. Actually, that had to be in place before I could ever even consider to be in full-time ministry. Oh, there's a lesson. Oh, Pastor, I want to do this. I want to do that. What are you doing in the house of God? Oh, Pastor, I want God to, you know, to flourish my, you know, my home, and I need him to, you know, help my business. Are you serving in the house of God? Ooh, boy, sure gets quiet in here, except for the ones who are serving. They like that message. Look at Psalm 84. Here is the heart and the mentality we're supposed to have about the house of God, because this is how we flourish. This is how we get into that light and grow and know the direction. I love how David says this. He says, how amiable, or how sweet and precious, how valuable, we could say it that way. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. David says this, oh, how great are your places of worship. I love that. He says, my soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. What if we did that? Not saying that we don't. But what if we stepped it up a notch in this place? What if we had that heart? He says, I cry out, I long, I even faint to be in the house of the Lord that I may go before God and cry out to the living God. Folks, when the pastor's up here saying, you know, lift your hands and praise and worship the Lord, that's not me just trying to lead a charismatic church. That is me trying to get you to tap into the revelation of crying out for God in the house of the Lord. Because I'm here to tell you that this place isn't all about you. Church is not all about you. Church is where selfishness comes to die. He says, my soul longs, even faints for the courts of my Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. You're going to have to make your flesh do something in church. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at verse 3. It says, yea, the sparrow has found a house, and the swallow found a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even the altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. He said, I am as happy as a bird that has found a nest. He said, I have found my home. My home, I am made to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I am made to flourish here. I am made to serve here. I am made to praise here. I am made to tithe and to give here. I am made to love the church family that is in my midst. Folks, if you're going to flourish, you got to love the house of God. Yes. Say, well, Pastor, I don't feel that. Stop feeling something. Yeah. You don't got to feel it. Anyone else have to peel themselves out of bed this morning? I'm going to tell you the truth. I like to always tell you the truth. Apparently, Reverend Justin had a rough night or whatever over there. I'll tell you what. Naturally speaking, I had a little bit of a rough night last night. Nothing happened. You know, I got home from service, spent time with my family, you know, just, you know, relaxing last night, and went to bed, and I was, you know, midnight came around, and I'm wide awake. 1 a.m. comes around, I'm wide awake. 1:30 comes around, and I'm wide awake. It totally has nothing to do with that huge coffee I drank on the way home from church last night. I really didn't. I mean, I do that. Yeah. Well, praise the Lord. If you don't have a coffee addiction, you need to get one. I'll tell you what. There's going to be someone right now, that religious spirit in somebody. I can't believe he said that. I'm just kidding. I'm Swedish. We drink coffee, okay? People probably think I'm drinking a gallon of coffee a day. I'm not. I have a couple of cups in the morning, and that's really about it. Never mind that I keep Tim Hortons single-handedly. All those locations they're building around town is just to get a little bit closer to my house. I'm just joking, folks. Is it okay? 90% of everybody in here, you laughed and everything. There was somebody, I can't believe he said that. Well, sorry, Mr. and Mrs. Perfect. All right. Had a little coffee. What am I trying to get to? Now all of a sudden I lost my train of thought. What? You all are saying everything all at once. I can't distinguish any of it. Katie. What? Oh, wake all night. Yeah. I'll be honest. I had a little bit of a rough night. And I drink a coffee every Saturday night after I eat my Chick-fil-A grilled chicken sandwich with no French fries. What a disciplined man of God you have. I get my grilled chicken with no fries. I eat that. I know. Chick-fil-A fries are awesome too. They're the best in the business. You know, and then I drive down the road, I grab a coffee, and I drive home, and I was relaxing last night. Midnight comes around, wide awake. 1 a.m. comes around, wide awake. 2 a.m. comes around, still wide awake, but decide I better get to bed, try to, you know, get some rest, you know, fall asleep, wake up It's like 4:36. Do you ever wake up in the night and you dread to kind of look at the clock? Like, oh, what's this going to say? Please say 7:04. 4:26. You just like, crap. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? I had one of those nights last night. And when it was finally, like, you ever try to just sit there in bed just hoping that you'll go to sleep? You know, that doesn't happen to me very often, but, you know, last night, you know, the anointing was flowing in that service, and it just kept me up, and I was just wired, you know, and I just laid in bed just saying, I'll go to sleep, I'll go to sleep, and you just never go to sleep, and finally, you're just like, fine, I'm getting up then. Fine, I'm just getting out of this bed, and that's what I did today. It's like, all right, this isn't going to work, you know, and so when it came time, I finally decided to get out of bed. I'll be honest. My flesh was like, who can I call on to preach this service? Get somebody up in the bullpen. My flesh did not feel like getting ready. Folks, pastors even sometimes don't feel like going to church. But I tap into here. On the inside, I hear the voice of the Spirit. And I'm going to be here, and when I come into this place, I'm going to give my highest, my best. I refuse to be dragging. You know, I refuse to be low and down and unexcited for God. I refuse to. He did so much for you and I. Amen. We're supposed to feel like this is my home. This is my nest. This is like a bird who got out of the storm and found a house. Even the altars of the Lord. See, this is David's heart. For the house of God, this heart will cause you to flourish. If you don't have this heart, get it. Amen. Get it. Work on it. Say, well, Pastor, what do I do? Stir yourself up. You know, take an opportunity. There you go. Serve in the cleaning team. You know, a lot of times people don't love their church because they don't have any skin in the game. If you'll tithe, you'll start to love your church. You give, it'll help you love your church. Serve, it'll help you love your church, even though your church is not perfect. Not everybody in here is going to treat everybody right all the time. Is there anybody in here that you think that you've treated everybody just perfectly all the time? No. Goodness. If you don't like yourself, trust me, I dislike myself more than you dislike yourself, if I can say it that way. We know we mess up. We know we don't always, you know, act just right. But see, that's why we come together in all of our different personalities. None of us match, or we don't fit together, naturally speaking. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, He brings us all together with a similar purpose to cry out to the Lord and rejoice through the house of God. Amen. It'll cause you to flourish. Why do I always, am I up here saying, lift up your hands and praise the Lord? It'll cause you to flourish. Why are we always announcing, hey, we got an opportunity to serve in the house of God? Because when you do that, it'll cause you to flourish. But God's house, what is tithing about? It helps us to flourish in the house of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 5. It says, blessed is the man. Now he's still talking about the house of the Lord. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart are the ways of them, meaning you have the heart of God about the house of the Lord, who passing through the valley, I'm just reading now here in verse 6, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well, the rain also fills the pool. He's talking about filling your life, by the way. See, when you start walking in the house of the Lord, He starts filling you like a dry well. The well isn't going to be dry anymore. Oh man, I watch Christians live such a dry, you know what I mean by dry? Friction, you know, it's like, imagine an engine without oil. Friction and heat just destroys it. You know, it's the same way, like when Christians are without the house of God, I just see them, just life is just one set of desperate circumstances after another. It doesn't mean that being in church is going to make your life feel perfect all the time. It doesn't. All right. But I'm here to tell you, you won't avoid every trial, but you will overcome every trial. Amen. Praise the Lord, because we're flourishing in the house of God. Look at verse 7. It's still talking about those that are in the house of God. It says, they go from strength to strength. Their well is filled. Their pool is filled. They go from one level of strength to a higher level of strength. Every one of them in Zion who appears in front of God. What are we doing here? We're appearing together before the Lord. We're appearing together before the Lord. Strength to strength. Why? Because we're planted in the house of God. Well, Pastor, I don't need to go to church. Church doesn't mean anything for me. I don't need to serve in church. It doesn't matter, nonchalant. Folks, don't treat the things of God like that. It will produce heartache and hurt in your life. Verse 8, it says, O Lord, this really gets interesting. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. And so David's praying. He's still talking about the house of the Lord. Watch what he says in verse 9. We can miss it if we don't study the word. He says, behold, O God, our shield, meaning God is his shield. He's praying out and he says, look upon the face of your anointed. All right. Now, the anointed of the Lord in the Old Testament were three ministry offices that are very different than the New Testament ministry offices. Remember in the Old Testament, you had prophet, priest, and king. They were anointed of God to declare the word of God to the congregation of Israel. Remember that? In the New Testament, we have apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher that declare the word of God to us in the New Testament. When he says, behold, O God, our shield, Lord, look upon the face of the anointed in our midst. Meaning, what David is doing is he's praying for leadership that God would assist them to deliver the word that is anointed from heaven. Yeah, folks, should we do that in our local church? Yeah. Who's going to take a hold of David's heart and pray for their local church? That the pastor doesn't just say what we want to hear, but what we need to hear. I don't want to, you know, have a pastor that just tells me the easy things in life. Tell me the things that are hard. It's those difficult things that are going to hurt you the most. Meaning difficult things in life. And it requires a strong word to help us overcome those difficult things. He says, oh, Lord, I'm praying for the face of the anointed, the one that you've anointed to deliver your word in our midst. In verse 10, and this is the verse that we're familiar with, for a day in God's courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. But yeah, there's so many Christians, they'd rather be somewhere else. And that's why they don't flourish. They'd rather, you know, of course, can we miss, you know, can something come up that causes us to miss church once in a while? Sure. Is it okay to take a vacation? Yes, it is, 100%. This is talking about our habits and our heart. You know, it shouldn't be our habit to just skip church, right? A lot of Christians, they'd rather be on the golf course than be in church. They'd rather be at the picnic than in church. They'd rather be sitting in front of the TV than at church. Or they'd rather be somewhere else. And that's why they don't flourish God's way. It's not because it's family church or this church only. This is true for any church that preaches the word of God. He says, for better is one day in your courts than 1,000 anywhere else. He says, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. The Amplified says, or to dwell at ease in the tents of wickedness. Folks, there's going to be a lot of times when it would feel easier just to not participate in the local church. It would have been way easier for me this morning, because it was so funny. Right about the time that, you know, I would have been getting up, I was already up, all of a sudden, even with my cup of coffee, I felt like I could have gone back to bed and slept, right? But it was not, you know, that's too late now. I'm going to be in the house of the Lord. I'm going to be in the house of God. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't just, you know, pass it off casually. That's right. Take it lightly, nonchalant, and take it or leave it. But yet so many of God's people, they say, well, you know, I want God to do this and move in my life and a better job. And I want, you know, God to prosper me and all this stuff. Well, are you in his house? Look what David said. David was king when he said this, or about to be king. And he said, I would rather be a doorkeeper. I'd rather do something small in the house of God than to prosper a wicked way. Amen. Praise God. If you're a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, God's going to bless you for it. There's people that are vacuuming these floors every week. God's blessing them for it. Cleaning the toilets, cleaning the bathrooms, cleaning the glass, standing out there in parking lot, working up there in AV, singing on the worship team, playing an instrument, you know, serving in the ushering squad, people that work on staff, people serving in the nursery, people serving in the children's ministries. Right now, they're serving in the house of God. Amen. But so many times, there used to be a time in this church when we had more people willing to serve than we had positions. It used to be like tough. We'd have to like say, well, you're going to have to wait. We got more people that are willing to serve. But all of a sudden, this spirit of the world gets into people, and all of a sudden, it's like, well, I don't know if I want to do that. I don't know if I want to serve. Well, David said, give me the doorkeeper's job. Amen. The king.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
The king who says, you know, said, I would just rather to be at the door. Opening the door for someone to walk in than just have ease somewhere else. Are you serving in God's house? Well, I want God to do this and that. I'm praying and believing and praying and believing. Well, God said, they that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. And now verse 11 is another verse that we quote around here. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. Where is he a sun and a shield? In the house of God. That's what this whole chapter is about. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Where is he going to give grace and glory? In the house of the Lord. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing. Notice, remember when I said earlier in the service, God is, he's standing on the sidelines. He has this desire to flourish in your life, right? God is standing there looking at us saying, I don't want to withhold anything. But Christians, so often we get a picture in our mind like we're trying to get God to let go of something. God's saying, walk in my house. Praise in my house. Serve in my house. And no good thing will be withheld. It's not because God is wanting to withhold it, right? He wants to let it go, but there's a way that is our part. There's our side of it. Amen. Are you getting a hold of this? And then verse 12, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusts in you. I believe that as I'm planted in the house of God, I'm going to flourish in his courts. I believe that. I believe that I would have quit. Already I would have been gone. I know I would have been gone. Had I not believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. God is so faithful and he is so good. He will cause you to flourish. He will overturn those challenges. He will be your strength. He will take you from strength to strength. He will fill your well. He will fill your pool. He will make sure that you have more than enough. But it's not just because you attend church. You can be here without being here. Do you know what I mean by that? You can be here without being here. Don't do that. David was there. When David walked into the house of God, all of him was there. His whole heart was there. His whole mind was there. His whole body was there. And he brought his full supply to the house of God. I didn't even get to half of my notes, which I hardly even have any, because it was really interesting. You know, yesterday I did something that I almost never do or I haven't done for years. On a Saturday, you know, when I wake up on a Saturday morning, you know, and I get into my office and then I eventually just sit and I get into the Bible and I just sit in the Word and I start putting down notes and things. I know, you know, usually know exactly the direction that I'm going for the weekend services. And yesterday, outside of the Holy Ghost just saying, flourish, flourish. He just kept saying, flourish. And I sat there, and yet I could hardly put any notes down. Just every time I would go, you know, to a certain verse or just study around and everything, I just kept running into like a roadblock. And I finally realized, all right, this is not something that I'm going to just be able to study my way into. I'm going to have to trust the Holy Ghost to give utterance in these services. And so what did I do yesterday that I haven't done in years on a Saturday? I went to bed. Maybe that's why I was up so late. Well, let's see. He's taking a nap during the day and drinking coffee at night. Can't possibly think of why he was up all night long. Can't possibly think of a reason. But I went and I took a nap for an hour and a half, which is, that's a long time on a Saturday. And I went to sleep with just, you know, perfect joy. Just said, all right, the Holy Ghost is going to provide utterance in these services. And both last night and this morning were completely different. Because, you know, we went a lot of different directions. There was a lot of different things said. But that's the Holy Spirit meeting the needs of the people. Amen. Folks, fall in love. Serve and flourish in the house of God. Be there. All of you be there. Meeting all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your body. Amen. That you just give yourself. You know, serve in the house of God. Give in the house of God. Be a part of it. Do you know that Family Church, we have no formal membership here? We used to do classes and, you know, all this and that and the paperwork and sign and get your membership card. You know why I ditched that? Because it didn't work. It didn't work. We'd have membership Sunday and there'd be 40 people in front of the church and they'd all be receiving their membership cards and, oh, I'm part of this church. And every time we did that, there were several people, that was the last time I ever saw them again. Because membership or being part of a fellowship, it's not about what card you carry in your pocket. It's not about signing on the dotted line. It's about having this heart of Psalm 84, amen, and just being a part of the house of God. You get something out of this here today? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we just love you. We praise you. You are so faithful and you are so good. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. You said that the righteous shall flourish like a cedar in Lebanon. Father, you made us the righteousness of God in Christ. We had no righteousness on our own, but you gave it freely in your grace. Your nature, your presence dwells within us. You want us to flourish. You want us to be planted in the house of the Lord. Lord, we're not going to accept that spirit that's in the world, that spirit that doesn't want to do anything, that spirit that doesn't want to go to work and doesn't want to keep a job or to keep their word or whatever. Lord, we are going to pick up David's mentality. Better is one day in the house of God than 1,000 anywhere else. I'd rather serve in the most menial task in the house of the Lord than have the ease of being without it. Father, we thank you. Yeah, it's hurting their life. Yeah, that the Holy Ghost just said this to me. It's hurting you. It's hurting you and holding you back. It's hurting you and holding you back. Because you are not planted in the house of the Lord. You're pulled in this direction, in that direction. You're pulled out of the house of God. You jump back in, you're pulled out again. You got to be planted. You got to be planted. The more you bounce around, the more hurt will come to you. And the Lord is standing here and he's saying, I withhold nothing good from those that walk uprightly. I want to flourish you. Cause you to grow strong. I want to fill your well. But you've got to plant yourself. The Lord moves upon those that create an environment of stability. If you're unstable, if you're distracted and bouncing and, you know, pulled in all these different directions, the Lord's going to have a hard time getting His plan to work in your life. Don't let it hurt you any longer. Make a decision once and for all to be both feet in. Father, we just praise You. We glorify You. We magnify You, Lord God. You are faithful and You are good. With all heads bowed and every eye closed, before we're dismissed, let's ask ourselves this question right now in our hearts. Have we made Jesus Christ the Lord of our life? The good news is that God loves you. The good news is that God sent His Son to this earth 2,000 years ago. Jesus was nailed to that cross. He shed His blood. He took the punishment that we deserved. He became the sacrifice for our sins. And now the Bible says in Romans 10:9, that if you'll confess or speak with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and if you'll believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. God wants to save you. Save you and me from our own sins. Save us from a place called hell. Listen, this church is going to tell you the truth, even the inconvenient truth. There is a hell. Hell is real. But I've got good news. Heaven is real. Heaven is real. And if you'll call upon the Lord, receive Him into your heart, it's not a matter of you joining this church. It's a matter of inviting Jesus into your life and calling on Him as your Lord and Savior. If you will do that, you'll never have to be concerned about hell a day in your life, because He will give you eternal life. He will give you heaven as your home. God loves you. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've never made that decision. I've never formally accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Well, I'm not going to make you stand up today. I'm not going to walk up to you. I'm not going to send anybody to you. I'm not going to call you down front. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. You're sitting in that seat. You and God are right there in your seat. And if you'd say, Pastor, I need Jesus. I want to make sure that I have eternal life. The only thing I'm going to ask you to do is to put your hand up for just a couple of seconds. Literally 1 second. Just say, by a lifted hand, you're saying, Lord, see me. I want to be seen. I want God to see me as declaring Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And then once I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. Then I'll lead the entire church in a prayer. And right there in your seat, you can pray right along with everybody and invite Jesus into your life. If that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? I see that hand and that hand. You can put those hands down. God loves you. I see that hand. You can put it down. God loves you. Is there anybody else that you'd say, I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior? God loves you. He's got a plan. Amen. We had a few hands. Anyone else, before we pray, just to take that step of faith and say, I need the Lord. Anyone else before we pray? Well, we had several hands. I'm going to lead us all in this prayer. We all are going to be praying right along with you. If you lifted your hand, pray these words, mean it with your heart. Speak these words out of your mouth. Don't just think them in your mind, but speak them right out. You don't have to be the loudest one in the room. But just talk to God and pray. Everyone pray this with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, and I believe in my heart that You raised Him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Did you get some help here today? I'll tell you what, God's got good for us, folks. But how many of you know we got to do our part? You know, I could just sit up here and tell you 1,000 times over all the stuff that God wants to do in our life. But the role of a church and a pastor is to teach us our side of this relationship with God. Let's stand to our feet. Let's just rejoice and give Him praise, and we'll be dismissed. Father, we glorify You today. We magnify You. We are so grateful. Church, if you are grateful for your Lord, go ahead and give Him some praise here today. Lord, we bless You. Father, we just thank You. Your blessing is upon each one that's here. And Father, we give You all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.